Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's wonderful.
Amen.
One day, Brother Savior and his sister, they'll really shake the house of God.
Amen.
We believe that. Before Sister Eve comes, I just want to give a short testimony because I promised the Lord I'll give glory to the Lord. Now, I have a brother in Zimbabwe. He's my blood brother, same mother, same father. He's been HIV for 2 years. And I remember with many people coming here praying all night, Brother Cheslin, Brother Kingsley. Many people will be praying and seeking the Lord, you know. And he would phone me and tell me, look, I'm HIV, but I'm not taking those drugs. If I die, I die, but I believe in God, and I believe God will heal me. And he's really pushed for a long time, you know, up and down, he's been sick. But what amazed me, this week, he really went down and he was feeling quite sick. And on Sunday, I phoned and they said, your brother has a cyst and he needs to go to the clinic. So he went to the clinic and then he texted me in the morning on, Thursday. He texted me, said, went to the clinic. Had the HIV tests, results negative. That's what I read. And I just wanted to say that, you know, I prayed many times. It's not my prayers, the Lord healing his by his faith. But it's just so powerful how God, he can do such things, you know, like that's the children's bread, you know, that God can take away. It's a serious thing, you know, like a man to be sick with AIDS. And if you would see him many times, I would look at him and look at myself. And we're exactly the same, but he's so frail and he's weak. And you know, when you look, you say, but it's so sad to see my brother like this. But when he sent me that text, I said, my God is alive. That's the God I would like to serve. We'll ask, we'll ask Sister to come sing a song. Sister Angel, she has a song to sing for us today. Amen. But God is good. Amen.
Amen. God bless you, saints.
Just a little bit of oil, that was all she had. The situation looked hopeless. Life seemed empty. The fire that she had was gone, and she could no longer sustain a family. A widow with nothing. She was a widow with nothing. That was her story. With the creditor approaching, in her most desperate time of need, she stood all alone, no friends, no family. And they read out your charges. You cannot pay your debt, your children now becomes a ransom, and they shall be taken. She cried, Lord, I have nothing left. I'm a widow with nothing. That was a testimony. But when God heard a desperate cry, he came down for his soul. He quickly came to her as he heard the cry of his soul. He led her to find Elisha, the prophet for that hour. Thou sayest the Lord, Lord had already told me your troubles will be gone. The story of your life will be different from now on. Bring every joy you can find, God will transform your life. The little word that you have will be multiplied. Even now, right now, your children will never be slaves and you will never be in debt anymore. God has chosen you, and in your home he will work a paradox. In the house that was empty, now has everything. The widow who was weeping can rejoice and sing. Where there was nothing, today you can have it all. Step out by faith and see gold multiply your oil. Now your fire's burning, shine your light today. You've taught the hem of his garment as he passed your way. All who saw you suffer at the hands of death now sees the blessings of the Lord. Go, thou sayest the Lord. God had already told me your troubles will be gone. The story of your life will be different from now on. Bring every joy you can find, God will transform your life. The little joy that you have will be multiplied. Even now, right now, your children will never be slaves, and you will never be in debt anymore. God has chosen you, and in your home he will work a paradox. In the house that was empty now has everything. The widow who was weeping can rejoice and sing. Where there was nothing, today you can have it all. Step out by faith and sing gold, multiply your oil. Now your fire's burning, shine your light today. You've tied the hem of his garment as he passed your way. All who saw you suffer at the hands of death now sees the blessings of the Lord. Even now, right now, even now, right now.
God bless you.
Amen. Right now, even now. Let's stand and let's worship the Lord.
Take me past the alcoves to place, past the prison altar. Lord, I want to see only your face. Pass me by God's people and the priests who sing your praise. Hunger and thirst after righteousness, but it's only found in your presence, Lord. Take me to the holiest of holies. Take me, Lord. Take me by the blood of the Lamb. Please take me now, Lord. Oh, take me to the holies of holies. Take the gold, cleanse my lips. Here I am. Take the gold this morning, Lord. Take the gold, cleanse my lips. Here I am.
I enter into the holiest of holies.
I enter the holies of holies. Through the blood of the Lamb, I enter to worship you only. I enter to honor I am. Lord, I worship you.
I worship you, Lord, Lord, I worship you. I worship you.
For your name is holy. For your name is holy. For your name is holy, God. For your name is holy. Your name is holy, oh Lord, you are holy, you are holy, God. Oh, I enter, I enter the holies of holy. Oh, I enter through the blood of the Lamb. worship you. Oh, to worship you only I enter, to honor who I am. Lord, I worship you. I worship you. Oh, I worship you, Lord, I worship you.
Peace, the Lord, the Lord.
He's the Lord.
we lift the name of Jesus for the weak. Messiah, Prince of Peace, the Lord the great, He's the Lord, and our love will grow stronger. Coming King, praise awaits you, Lord. Praise awaits you, Messiah, O Lord. Praise awaits you, Lord. Praise awaits you, Messiah, O Lord. O you. Be fulfilled, praise awaits to Zion, O Lord.
Saints, let's come to a time of prayer before the service. Let's pray for Brother Mike from Malawi, is asking for prayer. He's not able to make it. He's at work today. So let's pray for Brother Mike. Let's put ourselves before the Lord. Let's pray the Lord's special blessing on them who gave the items this morning. It was a real blessing, wasn't it? We do say happy birthday to the sisters who had their birthdays this week. Let's pray and put ourselves before the Lord. Father, waiting upon Thee and looking unto Thee, wanting to call upon Thy name, Father, even upon this day. Lord, as Your people, Lord, Father, just wanted to get ourselves out the way. Father. Amen, saints. Let's open Matthew chapter 19. We'll get our scripture reading from there. We do greet you in Jesus' name this morning. It's a nice, nice day. Wonderful to be in His house. Matthew 19. Let's read from 27 up to 29. Matthew 19 from 27. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. The rich young ruler has just gone away sad. And Jesus has said how difficult it is for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And His disciples, they came to Him and they asked Him this question. Verse 27, then answered Peter and said unto Him, behold, we have forsaken all and have followed Thee. What shall we have therefore? And Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed Me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of His glory, you also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And then Jesus broadens it to all of us. And He says, and everyone that hath forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for My name's sake shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit everlasting life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Amen. Let's also open Matthew 4 again. Just to link it together with what we were speaking last week about the third temptation of the Lord Jesus Christ when Satan came to offer Him the kingdom without the cross. Matthew 4 verse 8 up to 10. Again the devil taketh Him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth Him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto Him, all these things will I give Thee if thou wilt fall down and worship Me. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and Him only shalt thou serve. And the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Father, giving Your word back to You upon this day, break unto us the bread of life. Bless Your people, praying for Brother Mike, that You be with him. The other saints that are at work, we do pray for them. The saints that are still away, we do dedicate and ask that You would bless them, Lord, upon this day. Pray for Brother Tom in Norway. Father, may You use him for Your glory upon this weekend, Lord. Father, may You anoint him, Lord. Father, may Thine anointing go forth and break yokes and chains. And Father, may Your kingdom be established for Your glory. Bless Your people that have gathered upon this day. Father, we're giving ourselves into Your hands. We've come for communion with You. We've come to sit at Your feet. We've come, Lord, desiring each and every one of us, Lord, from the front of the church right to the back. Each of us desire to be better equipped, Lord, as we go from this place upon this day. Father, we want to hide behind the Word. We want to be fortified by Thee. And Father, we're looking to Thee for that upon this day. We've come, Lord, with our cups raised up to You. And we say, Lord, fill our cups upon this day. Amen. Bless our sisters and our young brothers, Lord, that have given us such a blessing, Lord, with these items upon this day. May You, Father, be their reward, we ask and pray. And You quicken them and encourage them down that way. Thank You, Father, for the testimony of what You've done for Reeves, Lord. Father, we know him well. Father, remember the day that he was baptized. Father, how wonderful it is what You've done for him. Father, may Your name be glorified. Father, may Your name be lifted up upon this day. Bless Your people gathering in like manner around the country. Father, wheresoever Your bride would be upon this day, we proclaim Your blessing upon Your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated, saints. If you just have to take a bit of a topic today to get a thought, just based on maybe just finishing up on this thought with these temptations of the Lord Jesus Christ, we'd like to speak about the kingdom without the cross. Because that's what Satan was offering to the Lord Jesus Christ, was offering him the kingdom without the cross. Now, whenever the devil comes to offer you something, there's always a catch. It's never the way that it appears to be. Now, the devil's the master of deception, deceit. But if you think of him coming to the Lord Jesus Christ himself here in Matthew chapter 4, and showing him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of those kingdoms. Friends, they defiled kingdoms anyhow. So what was the devil trying to do? He was trying to offer him something here and now. But it was fallen, a fallen kingdom, a kingdom that was going to have to pass away anyhow. And the aim that Jesus had, that Satan had in offering that to Jesus, was to try to keep Jesus back from the real inheritance, which is the kingdom that is undefiled and that never passes away, which is the kingdom that Jesus will inherit in the end. And we are part of that kingdom. And that's how Satan works. He had always come to offer you something now. You know, he knows the appetites of men and women, and he knows the weaknesses that we have. And he studied man right from Eden, and he knows exactly what we, like we said last week, what bait to use to get us to respond to him. And that's what he wants to do. He wants to come to you knowing that if you've been called as a believer, you're called unto an inheritance. The Bible speaks of us being called to an incorruptible inheritance. We've been called unto inheritance, a kingdom that passes not away. So as believers, the Lord has good things in store for us. There's a throne, there's a kingdom, there's authority, there's glory, there's all of these things that the Lord Jesus Christ has purchased for us. And Satan knows those things. So when Satan sees the Lord starting to work inside of your life, that's the great fear that he has. He doesn't want you to come into authority. He doesn't want you to come into a position where you have favor before the throne of God. He doesn't want that. That's the kind of believer that he really fears. And we saw last week when Jesus came out of the wilderness, filled with the glory of God, we saw straight away Satan was there to try to circumvent, to try to bring to an end that which he could see already had started. And to do that, he needed him to defile himself in some way. He needed to offer him something, the Lord Jesus Christ, which was out of the will of God. Now, that's what Satan wants to do. He wants to take us out of the will of God. If he can't get you perfectly out of the will of God, he's going to try the permissive will of God. He's going to try to tempt you in some way and give you something. Prey upon the weaknesses that you have because of the fallen humanity that we're dwelling in. And his aim is to try to keep us from the real thing. Now, so whenever the devil comes to offer you something, be careful. He's trying to keep you from the real thing. No matter how attractive it is what he's trying to give you, no matter how much sense, he's trying to keep you from the real thing that God has for you. Because God has good things for his children. But the way that the Lord brings his children to the inheritance is very different to the way that the devil wants to give you an inheritance. The devil wants to give you something, and it doesn't matter how you get it. And he's the master at this, because in order for the devil, Satan, to establish his kingdom, look what he had to do in the kingdom of Michael. He went and he had to deceive, he had to use, you know, those kind of methods to establish what he wanted to establish. He never used the legitimate way. He never used the right way of doing things. That's the way that he does things. If he wants something, if his heart is set upon something, or if he knows that you want something or that you need something, he's going to try to come and offer you other ways of getting it. And many of us have been caught up in those kind of things in this world. You find saints when they want to get their papers. And it's taking quite some time. And you're trying to do it the right way. And there's a process that Caesar has established for us to do those things. As a son or a daughter of God, Satan's going to come to you every single time to offer you another way. To say you don't have to do it like that. You don't have to take up your cross. You don't have to suffer. You don't have to go through this long process. I can give it to you now. Just break some of the laws of the kingdom. And it's so tempting to us, especially in our times of desperation, in our times of anguish, when we're down in the valley, when we're low. And the good thing is the Lord does understand. That's why Christ died for us, to make an atonement for us. But that's the way that He always works. He wants to offer you something now. He wants to say, you don't have to suffer like this. Why are you suffering? You're a young man. You want to get married. Yes, okay, there's no sisters for you to marry here now. But no, there's this girl at college. There's this girl at school. There's the girl just down the street. But unfortunately, she doesn't believe. And maybe she smokes, or maybe she's worldly in her ways. And He's going to come and He's going to offer you something now. Because He's trying to hold you back from the good things that God has for you. If you will just follow the process that God has. But for us as human beings, the vast majority of this world, if you go out today, like we said, 7 billion people in this world, how many people are willing to follow Christ? How many people are willing to do it the right way today in this age, to inherit your spiritual and your natural inheritance legally, to do it lawfully according to the laws of the kingdom of God? And that's why Jesus was saying, if you want to be my disciple, you've got to deny yourself. You've got to take up your cross and you've got to follow me daily. That's what a real disciple is. And now Satan doesn't mind people just being in the message. Satan doesn't mind people making a profession. But the people that Satan fears are those that will walk with Christ in their day. And to walk with Christ means you've got to take up your cross. You've got to deny yourself. There's no crown in the kingdom of God without the cross. You've got to take up the cross to get to the crown. But Satan's going to come and offer you the crown without the cross. That's the way that he works. But the crown he's going to offer you is going to pass away. There's going to be strings attached. It's not going to work out for your good or for your glory. And in fact, if you're not careful, you can defile your inheritance by trying to do it the easy way. To try to follow his way of doing things. And look what happened in the Garden of Eden to give us an example of that. Satan came with something very appealing to Eve. Came and said, look, God's holding good things back from you. God knows if you'll eat this fruit, you'll become like Him. You'll be wise. You'll know good and you'll know evil. But He never told her the full truth of what it was going to cause. But it was a fruit to be desired, the Bible says. It was something that had an appeal in it. And Satan knew the way I'm going to get Adam out of his inheritance is I'm going to come through Eve in this way. And he got Eve to partake. Now, once Eve fell, he knew that Adam had such a love for Eve that Adam was going to forsake his inheritance for Eve. That's a sad thing. Friends, I don't think there's anything in this world that is worthwhile forsaking your spiritual inheritance for. I don't think there's anything. That's why God loves people like Jacob, whose thirst and hunger is for the birthright. You know, although the devil played around with his natural nature, and he was deceptive in what he did and different things, but God so respected that desire that he had inside of his soul is that he wanted the birthright above everything. Amen. And I believe a son or daughter of God who's really born of the Spirit of Christ, inside of you is a seed, inside of you is a desire, is a life that'll be satisfied with nothing less than doing it the right way. Then taking up your cross and lawfully inheriting this inheritance that has been stored up for you. But Satan, as he was, like the prophet said, we read it last week, he says, the third great assault. Satan offered to forfeit the kingdom to him. You see the kingdoms of the world? These are mine. I do with them whatsoever I want to. I'll forfeit them to you. But remember, he was trying to get him to forfeit it without the cross. Now, the moment you see that that's the devil at work, the moment that you see that you don't have to take up your cross to get something, that you don't have to go through the process of the word to get an inheritance, but something's just offered to you now. You can have it right now. Be careful of those things because God doesn't work like that. God normally holds good things back if we're not able to bear those things. God knows the right time, and God knows how to prepare us for our inheritance. God knows how to take us through the process to equip us so that when He gives us these things, we've got the right character and we're not going to do damage to ourselves and His kingdom with those things. But Satan knows that as well. And he knows the desire, the natural human desire. We want to have good things. We want power. We want authority. We want all people to see who we are as sons and daughters of God. No, we don't want to have to go sometimes to have times like the Lord Jesus Christ where we don't have any place to lay our head. We don't want to be like the Lord Jesus Christ sometimes when he was hungry and the devil has to come and say, turn the stones into bread. Now, there was a certain way that Jesus went to get to the crown, to get to the full inheritance. And that was the way of the cross. And Jesus took up his cross every single day. Amen. To do the will of his Father every single day. And many times it was contrary to his will. Because he as a man would have desired something different. Right. But whenever that choice and that proposition was put to him, during the days of his earthly pilgrimage, the Lord Jesus Christ was a perfect overcomer every single time. Amen. That every time the devil tried to offer him something, and he knew this is not the will of my Father, this isn't the way my Father wants me to get these things, Jesus would say, get behind me, Satan. Amen. He had recognized that it was the enemy. And that's why, like we said last week, the Christian world, the prosperity gospel, this word faith gospel through Oral Roberts and Kenneth Hagin, and now it's into the charismatic move. It's exactly the devil doing what he did to Jesus. He's coming and he offers them, I'll give you the kingdom. You can speak in tongues. You don't have to repent. You don't have to seek the Lord and die out to yourself and lay on the altar to receive the Holy Ghost. Just come forward now. We'll lay hands on you now. Look, you've spoken in tongues. You've already got the Holy Ghost. That's a deception, friends. But there's a spiritual power in it. And it appeals to us, the natural man. We want these things. But when the word comes your way and says, repent first. Be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lay on the altar and become a burnt offering. And then the fire will fall on that sacrifice. Laodicea doesn't want that kind of a gospel. That's why they rejected the message of the hour. Because Laodicea is lukewarm. It wants the easy way. Yes, it's rich and increased in goods. It wants to be told, you don't need to suffer. You're sons and daughters of God. The very proof that you're sons of daughters of God is God leads you by the way of the cross to bring you to the crown. You're going to go through a lot more than other people because God has far greater ambitions for you and for me as his sons and daughters. So the way we're going to have to walk is going to be far more strict and more difficult than just the natural man. It's going to be far more difficult. Look at Job, the life of Job. For God to bring that man to the double portion of blessing, look what God took the man through. To bring him to that stage that his name could become great right to our day. And the Lord Jesus Christ speaking about the patience of Job and James and those things. But it's not, the natural man doesn't like that kind of a gospel. That's right. But unfortunately, there's only one gospel. Amen. And that's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And Jesus said, if you want to be my disciple, you've got to deny yourself. Amen. There's no other gospel, friends. You've got to take up your cross. And he showed us how to do it. He took up his cross. He left us the bloody footprints. And there's no other way to the throne. Amen. There's no other way to the crown. Yes, anything else is a counterfeit. Right. Anything else is the devil coming to offer you the crown without the cross. Yep. He's trying to say, I can give you this. I can give you riches. The prophet says in California, if you don't have two Cadillacs, you're not spiritual. And you've got to be careful. It's coming in the message, friends. Yes. That if you don't have a big house and you don't have this and that, you're not spiritual. That's totally contrary to the principles of the kingdom that Jesus established, that Paul established. But it appeals to the natural man. And Satan knows how to bring the things, to dress them up in the word, to dress them up in a spiritual form. But it's the same old poison behind it that he offered to Eve in the Garden of Eden. Because he hasn't changed. When the devil offers you something, like I'm saying, there's strings attached. When there was Bathsheba that day, and There was David, and Bathsheba was offering herself in that kind of a way. David should have seen beyond what was being offered to him. That he was going to defile his inheritance. He was going to raise up trouble in his home. He was going to have years of anguish and grief. Satan never showed him Absalom hanging, dying in a tree. Never showed him Amnon and Tamar and the sorrow in his house. Never showed him David, dust on his head, going up the Mount of Olives, the rejected king because his son had risen up against him. Satan doesn't show you those things. He just shows you the here and now. He says, this is a fruit to be desired. Why? God won't hold you back from something good. Friends, you've got to go God's provided way. God's way is by the word. No matter how desperate you are for something, if you can't get it through the word, it's not for you now. God has blocked you from it if you can't get it by the word. And we've just seen that recently. You'll show somebody the word and say, the word says you're not allowed to do this. Somebody else will come and say, it's okay, don't worry about them. Come over here, we'll do it for you. The devil offers you something, friends. Be careful. It'll be very appealing to the flesh because of your natural desire. You'll be desperate to want something to be done. And if you're not careful, Satan takes advantage of that desperation and comes to offer you now something which seems to be a blessing, but it's a deceptive blessing because there's a price to be paid. Whereas the things of the kingdom are without money and without price. Once you die out to yourself, once you're in a certain condition before the Lord, and the Lord says, wonderful. There's no strings attached. That's going to be a blessing to you and it's going to be a blessing to other people. Because that's the principles of the kingdom of God. Now the prophet says about Jesus, when Satan offered him the kingdoms without the cross, he says he was tempted to do it now. Because death is a hard thing. And Jesus knew the way to this throne is through my death. The way to the crown is through my death. Not just normal death. He was going to have to die out of the presence of God. He was the corn of wheat that had to be thrown, sown into the ground, had to die and perish and rot. And Jesus knew that. He knew the way for me to fulfill my calling, the cross that I am called to bear, is by the way of death. I've got to, and friends, to you and I, it's exactly the same thing. You and I called as disciples to the way of death. We've got to die to ourselves. You've got to die to ambitions. You've got to die to your own ideas of how your life can be. Otherwise, you can never truly be his disciple. You can be a message believer. You can be a Christian. But there's a great difference between that and a disciple. Amen. Satan fears disciples. That's right. Noah was a disciple because he walked with God. Amen. To be a disciple is to walk with God day by day. Amen. No matter the cost that it's going to cost you. Amen. No matter who forsakes you. No matter who turns their back on you, that's being a disciple. That's the price that you got to pay. Paul was a true disciple. He says, Demas has forsaken me. All Asia has departed from me. The prophet was a true disciple. He preaches present stage of the ministry. All doors have been closed, he says. I used to receive hundreds of letters a week. Now it's down to just about 70. He says, why? He says, because I took a true stand. He says, I stood for the word. That was the price that he had to pay. He said, it's hard, but how else can I fulfill my commission? Preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but they'll want to heap up teachers having itching ears. They want to hear what they want to hear. They want to hear that which appeals to the flesh. But friends, that's not the gospel. That's not the message of any age. The message of the hour is separation. It's come out of her, my people. Come out from amongst the people unclean, the prophet says. But friends, that's not Laodicea. Laodicea, we have to love everybody. You have to embrace everybody. It doesn't matter what people do. It doesn't matter what the aims and objectives are. You know, somehow we've got to all become one with them. But to the real believer, you'll never accept that kind of thing. To the real believer, you know, that's the way that you'll defile yourself on the way to your inheritance. If there's anything that stands between you and your inheritance, you've got to separate yourself from it. Those things that are trying to hold you back in the kingdom of God, no matter how painful. Jesus says, if your right eye offends you, pluck it out. Amen. It's better to go into the kingdom having one eye than to be cast into Gehenna having two eyes. That was the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, if your right hand offends you, cut it off. That's painful. That's one of the most necessary things that you have is your right hand. But Jesus was saying, if that is going to hold you back from the kingdom, separate yourself. No matter how painful it is. No matter how much other people aren't going to understand what you've done. But if that is standing between you and the kingdom, separate yourself from that thing. Separate yourself. But this age that you're living in is an age of compromise. That's the problem. Now, you can never inherit your inheritance through compromise. It's impossible. The inheritance can never be obtained through compromise. You can never win people to the kingdom through compromise. You can never. You can never win people generally to the kingdom of God through compromise. We all feel like that sometimes. Now let's water it down. Let's try to help this. But the prophet says, them that you try to convert are the ones that turn against you in the end. That's the one where the problem comes in. But the real gospel, like the Lord Jesus Christ, that if any man wants to follow me, let him deny himself. Let him take up his cross. Paul says, I die daily and I grow from glory to glory. It's a daily walk. And that's how the prophet says the real Christian walk. It's a rugged walk. It's not an easy walk. People look at Christians and say, people, you're trying to seek for a crutch in your religion. That's nonsense. To be a real Christian is the most manly or womanly thing you'll ever find.
That's right. Amen.
It's the most genuine thing you'll ever find for someone to be a real Christian. Amen. Because sometimes you've got to tell people to the face that you're wrong. Amen. Sometimes you've got to, if you love someone, you've got to tell them, God's never going to honor what you're doing. That's not easy. In the world, it's far easier.
Right.
If you disagree with somebody, you can still put your arm around them. Go for a beer with that person down to the pub. And that's a false friendship. I said that to someone last week who doesn't come to this church. He's got himself involved in a relationship that's not right. I said, if I'm your friend, I'm never going to accept what you're doing.
Amen.
And he said, but hey, that's hard. I said, but it's the truth. I said, if I'm generally your friend, the Bible says, faithful are the wounds of a friend.
Amen.
I said, for me to accept you in what you're doing means I don't love you. Because you're disqualifying yourself from your inheritance. You're holding yourself back from the real thing by accepting this thing which the devil is giving you as a substitute. And it's so appealing and it's so tempting many times because of the condition that you'll be in, especially down the line of marriage. That happened there, we read it in the Bible. No, we so much want something, we so much desire something, but we want it now. And the Lord's just trying to say, I've got it under control. I'll do it for you, but wait. Go my way. Go through the process and see the blessing that will come at the end. But he knows the original sin. He knows Adam, that son of God, how much he was willing to forsake his inheritance. He was willing to allow us, his sons, the sons of Adam, naturally speaking, to forfeit our inheritance because of that original sin. It's not going to be easy, friends. And that's how when somebody comes to the Lord, generally speaking, especially the young men, one of the first things that's going to happen, Satan's going to come with girls.
That's right.
It's one of the first things he's going to do to offer to you. And if you are not really a disciple, if you haven't taken up your cross and said, the world behind me, the cross before me, you're going to defile your inheritance. You're going to defile your walk. You're going to spoil your walk as a disciple by offering, by accepting second best. And many times it's not even second best.
Amen.
By accepting that which Satan is offering. Satan's going to come and say, you don't need the cross. You don't need to pray through on this. You don't need to seek the Lord. You don't need to wait on the altar for this. I can give it to you now. Look how easy. Look at the desire you have. You can fulfill it right now. You don't have to wait. Friends, that is spiritual warfare. That's how close the devil gets to us in spiritual warfare. That's how we said it started off, Michael and Lucifer, it starts off in heavenly places. Sometimes you have to fight against spiritual forces that want to oppress you and surround you. And sometimes it's like that. But the real enemy that you've got to overcome is when it gets closer to that. When it's hand-to-hand combat, just you and the devil. And he's wrestling with you and he's offering you things and he's studied you and he knows how to get your natural man to respond. And he's coming and bringing those things to you and say, your problems can be over now. I can sort it out. You can buy a passport. Why worry about going through the process? I know somebody down the road, just go and pay their money. But your son and daughter of God, you look at that and you say, get behind me, Satan. Amen. Get thee behind me, Satan, because God can never honor this, because you can't obtain the crown without the cross.
Right.
You can't get the promise without the process.
Yep.
There's a process that God takes us through.
Yes.
And there's just as much, it's just as important, the process, as it is the promise.
That's right.
That's why sometimes he allows us to wait for, like Abraham, 25 years for a son. That process was very important to Abraham.
Amen.
Otherwise, God would never have put him through those circumstances.
Right.
But God knew the best thing for my son.
Amen.
He needs to wait 25 years.
Amen.
He'll be an inspiration down the way. He'll be an inspiration to all of his seed down through the ages.
Yeah.
God could have come and met his desire after a day. Could have promised him a son today and Sarah could have conceived tomorrow. But there was a process that he had to go through. And Satan will always try to get in that process.
Amen.
And then the going gets tough and here comes Sarah now. And the process now was too long for her. And she says, look, you just need a son. That's all that you need. God never really said which womb it's going to come through. Take my servant, take Hagar. And friends, it was tempting.
Amen.
Because of the pressure that there was at that time. Hey, this makes sense. So he takes Hagar and here comes Ishmael. The devil never showed him all the trouble that was going to come in his camp. All the anguish Sarah was going to be having with sleepless nights. Because the son of the bondswoman persecuted the son of promise Isaac. And it was a grief of mind to Abraham. And then Abraham's having to send Hagar out of the camp with her son. Banish her, cast her off. The devil never showed him all of those things. When the pressure was on and he was just looking for some kind of a solution to the situation that he was in. That's how the devil works, friends. That's his tactics. He wants to complicate the process. He wants to stumble you along the way. He doesn't want you to keep on in that process because he knows there's a blessing on its way. He knows at the end of the process you'll always receive the fullness of the promise. And friends, the promises are worth waiting for.
Amen.
They're more than worth waiting for.
Amen.
That victory, when you overcome the devil and you overcome yourself,
amen,
and you wait on the Lord until God's provided time, and God comes and ministers the promise to you, what can be more blessed than that?
Amen.
That's like eating of the tree of life, the Bible says. A promise fulfilled, it's like a tree of life. It really does something for you. But the devil is very clever and he knows exactly what it is that he wants to offer. And he knows how to offer. And that's what the prophet says. It was tempting to Jesus because death is a hard thing. He was tempted to take his liberty and be the king of the earth without the cross. He was tempted. And friends, it's tempting to us many times.
Amen.
Satan will offer you a much easier life.
That's right.
A much easier life than the one that you've got. You say, it doesn't have to be like this. You don't have to go through all of these misunderstandings. You don't have to go through all of this hardship. Move somewhere else. Go somewhere where there's no believers. I've seen it happen. Brother Scott knows what it's like back in the days of warfare back in Zimbabwe. It's easy to do it, friends. You'll end up thinking the answer to all of my problems is I just need to get away. But he doesn't show you what's going to follow. He doesn't show you the barrenness. He doesn't show you the futility of that walk. He doesn't show you the wilderness years where you don't bear any fruit. And time is just moving by. You're not progressing anywhere in your calling. He said it to Moses. He said, Moses, you don't have to put up with these people. They never accepted you. You did your best. Fine. Head out. And Moses, that's the best idea that I've heard for a long time. And Moses goes 40 years in the backside of the desert. You can't tell me that man had any satisfaction inside of his soul in 40 years. He had 40 years of regret. He had 40 years of thinking what might have been. That's what he had back there. And that's how when the Lord came with the burning bush, that was the grace of God. But it was 40 years. Yes, he learned things in there, a real process of dying out to certain things. But friends, those were wasted years as well. Naturally speaking, because people suffered, the prophet says, for another 40 years in Egypt. 40 years people were groaning in the kingdom. And the man had the gift of deliverance for them. And Satan knew it. And Satan knew exactly how to get the man out of the process. And give him some temporary relief. And give him some way that he could feel, ah, okay, at least I'm out of all of those problems now. And then he gave him a wife with a high temper. And the prophet says that she was, what? His cross that he had to bear. Her temper, Zipporah, was a cross for Moses, the prophet says, to keep him in line. So God knew even then what to put in the life of the man to keep the man from feeling too at home in this world. To keep the man remembering, but there's a kingdom to come. It's not just this world. It's not just this defiled kingdom that will pass away. But Satan will offer you the best of this kingdom. Excuse me, to keep you from the real kingdom. The prophet finishes off, he says, but he came and he suffered. And he took the hard, rugged route. He took the route of persecution. He took the route of death. And we this morning, are we willing to take the same route that he'd taken? That's the way of discipleship. There's no other way. He showed us the way and we've got to follow that way. There's no other way. There's no shortcuts in the kingdom of God. God has never made a shortcut. God will never honor a shortcut. There's no shortcuts in God's vocabulary. Shortcuts in the devil's vocabulary. Let's take a shortcut. Let's do that. It doesn't work. Like a little video that the brother sent around about the cross. And the man carrying the cross and saying it's too heavy and then sawing the end of the cross off and saying, ah, it's a bit lighter now. And then he goes on a bit longer. Then he says it's still too heavy and he stops and he cuts another piece off. And then finally when he gets right to the kingdom, there's the great gulf between the kingdom of God and the kingdoms of man. He finds the cross doesn't reach anymore across the gulf, so he can't get himself across. It seemed a good idea during the times of pressure and tiredness in his earthly pilgrimage, but it never paid off in the end.
That's right.
And that's how it is with God's things. They always pay off in the end.
Amen.
When you do it the right way, it always pays off in the end.
Amen.
You'll never regret going God's provided way. But it's the harder way. It's the narrow way. It's the rugged way. It's the misunderstood way. It's the way of separation. It's the way of sacrifice.
Amen.
It's the way of fasting and of prayer.
Amen.
It's the way of agonizing like the Lord Jesus Christ in Gethsemane.
Amen.
During certain seasons of your life. But there's no other way. That was the way of the cross. And Jesus said, if anybody wants to inherit the crown, the throne, he's got to follow me.
Amen.
He's got to go the way that I go. I'm going to show you the way. And he came and he showed us the way. And there's no other way. No matter what the devil says, no matter what modern religion says, there's no other way.
That's right.
There's no other way. And every believer here knows that by personal experience.
Amen.
There's the blessed old way.
Amen.
There's the ancient paths. That's what God calls us to walk. And there's no other way. And to the young people that want to follow Christ, there's no other way.
Amen.
There's no modern day message of the hour. There's no 2014 model that you can play with the girls of the world and still be a message believer. You can't. You've disqualified yourself when you do it from your... You defiled yourself. You need to repent. You need to separate yourself. You need to come to the cross. You need to lay on the altar. You need to die out to certain things in your life. And then God has the promise. He has the answer. But the one who's going to offer to you first is the devil. He's going to be the first one. And sometimes they're so pretty. Sometimes they're so beautiful and their voice is like silk and they know exactly the things to say. And your devil will say to you, surely this can't be anything but the will of God. You've been desiring to get married and look, somebody, something drops down right from heaven. It's not from heaven, friends. Heaven is the kingdom of God. Sons and daughters of God marry from the kingdom of God. That's God's provided way. That's the way of the word. That word's never going to change.
Right.
No matter what you feel about it, what I feel about it, that's the standard of the kingdom.
Amen.
That sons and daughters of God marry the sons and daughters of God.
Amen.
There's no other way.
Right.
We can try to water it down, but we're deceiving you.
Amen.
We're robbing you of the real promise. We're robbing you of the real inheritance by withholding that real truth of the way of the kingdom to you. Because the way to the kingdom is the way of the cross.
Right.
There's no other way. And if you want to Follow what Jesus said. Deny yourself, he said. Now there's a real opportunity for you to deny yourself. Here's this girl and she's making eyes at you and she's sending you letters or emails or text messages or whatever. If you want to be a real disciple, you say, I'm a disciple. I deny myself.
Amen.
It's not my will, but thy will be done. That's the real test.
Yes.
It's not just the theoretical test. And you find most believers, that's one of the first tests they have to break through. You'll find all of a sudden these girls that never paid attention to you in the world, they pay attention to you. Just when you become a believer. No, it's not because you've changed your looks. It's because there's a devil that's behind it all. And the devil can see a potential in you. He can see that you're walking the right way. He can see that if you keep going the way you are, you're a threat to his kingdom. So what's he going to do? The same as he did to Jesus. He's going to come and offer you an earthly kingdom. A defiled alternative to the real thing. He's going to come and say, look at these kingdoms here. You can have them now. You don't have to wait. You don't have to wait. You don't have to suffer like some of these other brothers suffered. Just get it now. But a real disciple will never give in. When you find it's tough for you, you'll go and speak to your brothers and you'll say, brothers, come and pray with me. This one's a great burden and a weight to me. I'm finding it difficult. Please, can't you come and watch with me for 1 hour? You pray up at those kind of times. You feed your soul in the word. Amen. You put on the whole armor of God, spiritually speaking, once again. And you face up to that situation according to the word.
Amen.
And what does the word say? What fellowship has darkness got with light?
Amen.
What does it say? Let's read it, saints. Let's read in Corinthians. Just to show that the word never changes.
Amen.
And God will never lay on us more than we're able to bear. We can fulfill the word because we're sons and daughters of God. But the devil, he knows exactly how to try to disqualify us from our inheritance. 2 Corinthians 6, we'll read it from verse 15. Verse 14. 2 Corinthians 6. Just as a reminder. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. That's not only in marriage, that's in friendship as well.
Amen.
Yoking yourself up, making agreements, getting into alliances, binding yourself together with people in some way that are not believers. It's like two cows under one yoke, pulling the same way, making alliances and agreements. Be careful of those things, friends. Be careful. Abraham did it even with his lukewarm brother Lot, and he regretted it so much. He became a thorn in his flesh, a hair in the biscuit, the prophet said. That's what it says. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion has light with darkness? If someone's not a believer, they're in darkness, friends. No matter what they may say, no matter what they may look like, they're walking in the darkness. And the Bible says, what communion should we have with darkness? Unless we're trying to take that light into the darkness. Unless we're trying to shine the light.
That's right.
That's the whole objective of us as believers, surely, is to shine the light into the darkness.
Amen.
But not to have communion with that darkness.
Right.
Not to make alliances with that darkness. Not to yoke ourselves up together with darkness. That's breaking the principle. God from the beginning was a separator. He separated the light from the darkness right from Eden. And he's always separated the light from the darkness. He's never changed. And he never will change. And if you and I want to be in the rapture, we've got to walk with God like Enoch. We've got to walk with God like Noah. And to walk with God is to take up your cross daily. Is to deny yourself from those things that will hinder you from walking with God. You've got to see, that's my enemy. This is warfare. This is a conflict. This isn't just something that happened in my life. Nothing happens to a believer by chance. Be careful of those things, friends. They're very deceptive things. Now there's going to be false prophets out there. They're going to tell you it's okay to do it. But the word says it's not right to do it. Doesn't matter what other people say. They're not going to stand with you on the day of judgment. You're going to stand you, yourself. And you're going to be judged by the word. This is God's standard of judgment. And every one of us will be judged by the same word. That's why there's no private gospel or private interpretation to anything in the word. The word is the word. And we all are called to live according to the word.
Amen.
And if it's difficult, seek for grace. God gives grace to the humble. Wait upon the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. He'll give you the power, because there's no son or daughter who ever had a desire to walk faithful to the word that God didn't give the power to walk in the word. The Bible says He will give you power to become the sons and daughters of God. But you've got to have a pure heart. You've got to have a singleness of purpose that I want to walk with Christ. Come what may. No matter what sacrifices I have to make. No matter what people are going to say. No matter what society is going to think. I want to take my cross and follow Him. That's a disciple, and that only is a disciple. Anything else isn't true discipleship. It's not scriptural discipleship. And Jesus only has one type of disciple. And that's a disciple that's willing to take up their cross, to deny themselves, and to follow Him daily. And that's why it says in the next verse, "And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel?" With an infidel, someone who doesn't believe. Verse 16, "And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God." So there's people worshipping idols. There's people worshipping idols of Hollywood, the music of the world, the films of the world, the fashions of the world. That's all idolatry.
That's right.
This world is full of idolatry.
Amen.
What concord, what agreement should we have with people that are worshipping idols? We are the temple of the living God. There's got to be a difference. Be nice and kind to everyone, but don't be partaker of their sins. Don't compromise your walk and your inheritance, because you cannot win people to the faith through compromise. That's the truth in love. Just tell the truth in love. Yeah, certain times you don't dump the whole lot on somebody. Like the prophet says, that farmer that was in the field, and he had one sheep in the winter, and he went out with his big tractor and all of his hay, and he dumped a big thing of hay almost onto the sheep. Yeah. Then he goes to church that night, and the preacher's preaching, and he's the only one that's sitting there, the only one that's not saved. And the preacher spent the whole service preaching to him. And he went now to the preacher, this man, and he says, "Hey, you're doing like I did to my sheep today. You know, if I see my sheep in a field and he's hungry, I shouldn't dump the whole bale of hay on him at the same time. You know? Give it to him in pieces." That's how it is with the world. But friends, I don't think you win friendship with people or loyalty or faithfulness by compromising. I don't believe that. Because Christ, He never compromises with us. He tells us the truth. And that's why we love Him, because He deals faithfully with our souls. He tells us things the way that they are. That if you keep going like this, you're going to be lost.
Yes.
You will lose your soul. Amen. But if you want to gain your soul, this is the way that you've got to go.
Amen.
And He loves us enough to tell us that truth, because that's the way of the kingdom. That's why it says in verse 17, "Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." And anybody who's ever lived any kind of life like that knows how true that is.
Amen.
The life of a disciple is the life of true blessing.
Amen.
It's when you start getting out of true discipleship, you lose the power. You lose the communion. You lose the reality that you had before. Because Satan's luring you into compromise. He's getting you to defile your experience by mixing your light with darkness, by defiling your path along the way. And you learn it quickly that this isn't the original path that I used to walk. Because I don't have the same blessing here. I don't have the same fellowship and communion with my Father in this kind of life that I'm living. That's why He says, "Remember from whence you have fallen. And return and do the first works." That was the secret of why He was so real to you in the days of your youth, because in your youthful zeal, you didn't compromise.
That's right.
You didn't compromise with the world. You didn't compromise with worldly things. But Satan seems to lull us to sleep, and it seems the longer we go, the more we think we can compromise. But it should never be like that, friends. But it comes in so gradually. That's the way of the serpent. He lulls you to sleep until you don't realize, like Samson. Samson, where's your power gone? Then you find the power's not there anymore. When Delilah comes upon you, you don't have the power to overcome Delilah anymore. It's because something's changed in your attitude. Something's changed in your approach. We've got to be true disciples to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Jesus Himself said. Now, look at Matthew chapter 16. Jesus, like we said, has just spoken to the rich young ruler. before that, Matthew chapter 16, Jesus finds out from the disciples, what is their revelation? And he says, who do men say that I am? And who do you say that I am? And then Peter says, you are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. Jesus knew they're ready now. They're ready. They've caught a revelation. They know who I am. He's revealed who they are. He says, you are the church. The gates of hell will never prevail against the church. He said, that's the first time in the Bible you find the word church. Is when they catch the revelation of who Christ is, then he says, you are Peter. Upon this rock I'll build my church. And the gates of hell will never prevail. So Jesus sees these people have got some revelation now. Let me start telling them a little bit more of what it's like to be a disciple. And he starts to speak about his way that he's going to have to walk. Jesus himself. Verse 21. From that time forth began Jesus to show to his disciples how that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Hey, that was hard for Peter. Because Peter didn't think the gospel was like that. So what does Peter say to him, verse 22? Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee. The same devil who came to Jesus in the wilderness was now the same devil coming through Peter, trying to get Jesus to compromise. Jesus has just shown, this is the way that I have to go to the resurrection. And Peter says, never, I'll never allow you to do that. And Jesus discerns what it is. Verse 23, and he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me. For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Hey, that was a strong rebuke to Peter. But it was good that he did that. He's trying to say, Peter, be a help to me. Don't be a hindrance. I've got this temptation before me. I'm going to have to sweat blood in Gethsemane. Don't try to tell me I don't have to go this way. Don't try to tell me this isn't the way. This is the way of the cross. Rather be a true friend to me and encourage me in the way that I'm supposed to go. But Peter at that time, obviously, hadn't yet received the Holy Ghost. He wasn't fully born again himself. He didn't understand yet the way of the kingdom. So what does he do? No, never. You don't have to do that. We'll never allow you to do that. And Jesus, as always, when something stood between him and the will of his Father, he never compromised.
That's right.
He said, get behind me, Satan. You're an offense to me. You're thinking like a man. You're desiring the things of a man. Don't desire the things like, don't look at these things through the eyes of a man. Look at these things through the eyes of the Word.
Amen.
Because that's the way that Jesus was looking at it. And then Jesus straight away takes the opportunity, calls the people together. Verse 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it.
Amen.
For what is a man profited if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? My, he was so faithful, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he made it so clear, friends. And he never compromised on those things. And then you find the rich young ruler comes to him. Sorry, it wasn't chapter 6, it's chapter 19, you will find that. The rich young ruler comes to him and says, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Now listen to how the prophet says it in the Message leadership when he speaks about this rich young ruler. He says, he was a fine young man. He says, he's speaking about when the truth confronts people. This young man had been good, he had kept the commandments. He knew all about the message of Moses. He had kept all of the commandments of the message that he knew. But he didn't have eternal life because he wasn't truly a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't have eternal life yet. He knew all the things, but there was something that he knew that he had missing inside of himself. The prophet says that's the same thing that this boy was confronted with. Maybe he was a member of the Pharisees or the Sadducees or some great order of that day. And they would have told him, you're doing fine. That's all you need to do to inherit the kingdom. Just keep these commandments. But it was his good fortune and his misfortune to step into the presence of the message of the hour one day. To step into the presence of the person of eternal life, the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he came to the Lord Jesus, he knew, this man has something that I don't have.
Amen.
There's a difference between this kind of worship and the kind of worship that I have. There's a difference between this kind of walk and the kind of walk that I've got. And that's why he comes to Jesus and he says, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? The prophet says he was just as religious as he could be. He said, I've observed these commandments I've been taught ever since I was a youth. And Jesus loved him for it. So there were certain things, those qualifications, Jesus loved him for those things. He looked down and said, this is a fine young man. What potential this young man has. Now, I don't think the devil ever really fought that young man until this time.
That's right.
This is where now the spiritual warfare came in. Because the devil knew, uh-oh, this is trouble.
Amen.
This man can become a threat. This man can become a disciple. So now, the kingdoms come into conflict.
Amen.
The devil's given this young man a lot of things.
Amen.
A lot of things in this world. He's got an earthly kingdom. And that's what he set his heart upon. He loves his earthly kingdom. He loves his riches. He loves to be the son of the boss or whatever it was. No, his father obviously owned all these things, the prophet says. And Satan knew, I've got to get to work now. And there came a great spiritual struggle in the soul of this young man. When the real principles of the kingdom were presented to him by the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, if you want eternal life, I'll show you the way to eternal life. Because there's only one way to eternal life. I am the way. You're going to have to come the way that I'm going. And he shows it to him. And the prophet says, Jesus loved him for it. But he refused to be guided. He refused to accept the real leadership of Jesus Christ to give him eternal life. You know where the problem came in? Sometimes it's a thing of fear as well, friends. Sometimes the difficulty is in letting go. In giving it up to him. To like just trusting your future to him. It's not an easy thing for people to do. This young man wouldn't trust Jesus with his future. That was the problem.
Amen.
He wouldn't trust Jesus with his future. He wanted to make sure he had it in his hands. He must be the one to make the decisions. He must be the one to plot the course of his life. That's not a disciple.
That's right.
You've disqualified yourself from your inheritance the moment you walk like that.
Amen.
But a real disciple, there comes a stage when you meet the Lord Jesus Christ. When the person of eternal life visits you and speaks to your soul, you throw everything in with him.
Amen.
You say, I live and die with him. That's what they did. David's mighty men. He was the rejected king. He was Christ in his day. He was the anointed word in his day. And those men were mighty. Not because they followed David when he was already king, seated on the throne. But they recognized the anointing on that man when yet he was the rejected king. And they forsook everything. They knew by making that decision they became enemies of the state. Enemies of Saul. Saul would take away the possessions. Maybe Saul would persecute their families, whatever that it was. Because look at Saul, governed by an evil spirit from the Lord. But they made a decision. And it was a clear-cut decision. And they came down to David that says, David, thine we are. Thine we will serve. Because you know, you're coming in glory one day. So they forsook this earthly something they could have got from Saul. Saul would have given them rewards if they'd have sold out David. He would have given them things here and now. And that's what Satan appeals to, is the here and now. But when they came to David, David couldn't offer them anything now. David could just tell them the promises of the prophet. Could just tell them, thus saith the Lord. Could just tell them that Samuel anointed me one day and told me I shall be king. And that's what they were basing their future on. They took everything they were and everything they had and they laid it down at the feet of David and says, thine we are. And they were the real disciples. And the prophet says, and when David came into power, he put them over cities. He gave them their reward. He gave them because God is no man's debtor. You'll never forsake anything for his kingdom. Jesus said, but you will receive 100-fold.
Amen.
100-fold.
Yep.
I remember my friends, when I became a believer and went into the message, they forsook me. But I've got hundreds of friends around the world. Amen. Far greater friends than I ever would have had if I'd have compromised with those friends. I've got real friends now. Eternal friendships. Friendships that won't end at the grave. Friendships that will pass into time and eternity. That's what Jesus said. He who forsakes friends for my sake in the kingdom shall in this life receive friends. The real friends. You'll forsake that girl who paints her lips, puts on her trousers. See what God will give you. He'll give you the real one. He'll give you the real thing. But the devil will come and try so much to bait you, to tempt you, to say, don't wait. Don't go this way. Your problems can be over now. And you know the truth. That's the beginning of your problems. That's not when your problems are over. That's the beginning of your problems. That's the beginning of your problems, friends. And every believer ever did that, there's grace in the kingdom of God. But they'll testify that's where their problems began. And that's where David's problems began. Now, Satan is very clever on that. You have a look at the life of Joseph. Joseph, when he's a young boy, the devil never worries about him. Until he starts having his dreams. Once the supernatural strikes this young boy, and he starts getting in communion with the heavenly realm, Satan doesn't like that. Now his brothers, they make their plot and they throw him in the pit. And they think, we've got rid of him. But it wasn't yet the end of the plan. And then the devil leaves him. And Joseph's on his way down and he's in the slave market. He's bought by Potiphar. What does the Bible say? The Lord was with Joseph in Potiphar's house. Then the devil starts to say again, God's starting to work in this young man's life. He changes his approach. What does he do? Potiphar's wife. Amen. Trying to get him to defile his inheritance. He comes and offers him Potiphar's wife. And don't tell me that wasn't a temptation, friends. For a young man like that, separated from his family, living in a strange land, all the things he had gone through. And imagine all Potiphar's wife was offering him. Joseph, lie with me. I'll make your life easy. I'll give you everything that you need. But he was a disciple. Amen. It wasn't easy. Even though he had to lose his coat in the process. When she laid a hold and he ran out of that place. No matter what it was going to cost him. He says, I cannot sin against my God. And I cannot sin against your husband. Amen. That was real discipleship, friends. And you'll find any person who's going to become anything in the kingdom of God. You've got to go through that gauntlet of the devil. You've got to navigate through that by the grace of God. He's going to do those things to you. Now, many of us, we make mistakes. Like I said, there's grace in the kingdom of God. God has grace for us. We've all made mistakes. But especially to the young people, recognize your enemy, my friend. That if you ever want to become something in the kingdom of God, not just a religious young man or a religious young woman like the rich young ruler, but you want to really walk with Jesus in your day, you've got to go the way of the cross. And the way of the cross is the way of the word. And the way of the word is the way of separation. It's the way that no matter how tempting it is, you say no. Like Joseph said no. And that's why the devil, he'll always bring these things at a certain season. He came to Jesus when he was hungry and offered him bread. Turn the stones to bread. He comes to you in a certain season when he can see your desire. He can see the burden that you're going through. And just at that time, he knows exactly what to offer you at that time. It's not because you're handsome. It's not because you're better than anybody else. It's not because you're the most muscular guy in your class. Look beyond the veil.
Yeah, that's right.
And you'll see there's a devil. And he's very real. And he doesn't have good thoughts for you. And that's the thing that you've got to overcome. And same like this young man. The prophet says he couldn't trust his future. The prophet says here, no matter how good you are, what you quit doing, like the rich young ruler, or what you start doing, you've got to accept the person of the Lord Jesus Christ to walk with him. And then when you do that, he is the word. And your life fits right in the word. And it manifests itself in the age that you live in. You'll start now to manifest the word. And that's what Satan doesn't want. And that's what all the warfare is about, friends. He doesn't want you to manifest the word. He doesn't. And he knows every manner of temptation, every manner of attack. The better thing about it, Christ knows it even better than
Amen.
Him. And Christ always one step ahead of the devil. And he'll give you exactly what you need to overcome. But the problem with us, we many times look and say, but like Peter, but Lord, we've done all these things, but what will we inherit? We look at the wicked and they're prospering in their ways, and your friends and they're driving a Lexus, and you know, and the man's got a big house and he's putting his pictures on Facebook and he's receiving the trophy because he was salesman of the year in the organization. And what are you? You're living in a council house or you're living in rented accommodation. You don't even have money to go on a holiday to Spain. It's very tempting sometimes, friends, to look at those kind of things. And the devil will come and say, but look at all you've forsaken. What have you received? What good is it really doing you? That's what David did in the Psalms when he envied the wicked. Then the Lord says, consider their end, because their feet are on slippery places. In a minute, a second, the Bible says they're in their terrors. Death comes upon them. All those riches mean nothing. All that inheritance is left to others. And that soul has to face up to God. See, the devil doesn't show you those things. That's why Jesus said, what does it profit a man? Though you gain the whole world and you lose your soul. What will a man give in exchange for his soul? Ask yourself today. What will you give in exchange for your soul? What will you give in exchange on that day when you find out that you sold your soul like Judas for 30 pieces of silver? You sold out the word of your day. 30 pieces of silver. Imagine the regret. The prophet says if we could go down there in those infernal regions of the lost and we could find Herod down there or Pontius Pilate down there, who stood right in the presence of eternal life. And Herod said to him, it says, the Bible says he was glad to see him because he had heard about his mighty works. And the prophet says all Herod wanted Jesus to do was to do some sort of a sign or a miracle for him. And when Jesus refused to do it, Herod got his people to beat Jesus and condemned him. And the prophet says, imagine, he says, Herod is just as alive today as he was 2,000 years ago. He's just as alive. It's in the message called Remembering the Lord. He says, Herod remembers the Lord today. What about Pilate remembering the Lord? When his wife sent him a message saying, have nothing to do with this righteous man because I've been troubled. I couldn't sleep all night because of a dream. And Pilate there, he takes the bowl, he says, I'm innocent of the blood of this man. The prophet says, down there, Pilate, he's remembering the Lord. Amen. What about the rich young ruler today, friends? Where is he? He's remembering the Lord. Yeah. He's remembering that he stood in the presence of eternal life and the door was being laid open to him. And the great invitation by Jesus himself was being given to say, take up your cross. What did he say to that man? Go and sell all that you've got. That didn't give him eternal life. He says, and take up your cross and follow me. Then you shall receive eternal life. But the young man didn't want to follow the process. There was too much of a price to be paid. And that's why Jesus said, few there'll be that enter therein. Few. There's not a lot of people that want to walk with Christ. There's not a lot of people that are willing to pay the price to do the most glorious thing that ever can be done, which is to walk with Christ in your day. To walk personally yourself with Christ. So the prophet, he says that in this message, forsaking all. He uses that scripture. And he goes now to balance things out. And he says, I want to say this too. God will not in any wise be in debt to any man. So anything that you do for him, anything that you suffer for him, anything that you forsake for him, God will never be in debt to you. He'll always give you a reward. He says, if you have done that for God, forsaken all, which is what Jesus told us to do, God will repay you 1,000-fold. Right. God will pay it back. Then in this message, this one, forsaking all, he goes to show different people how God paid them back. Let's just take it to close with this. He says, now let's just take a few minutes and look at a few characters that did forsake all. He says, first, Abraham. Imagine what Abraham had. Abraham had his father's favor. Maybe he has got a well-respected man in his community and all that. Then the voice of God came to him one day and told him, separate yourself from all of these things. The prophet says, Abraham forsook his own land, the property that he owned, and everything else. And he forsook his home, his people, and all, and followed God. Like the seed of Abraham, exactly what we're supposed to do. He forsook his little bitty piece of land down there. Maybe an acre. Where his house sat. And he forsook his old house to receive everything there was in Palestine.
Amen.
Imagine. God says you forsake this old broken down house, Abraham. And this little piece of land that you're struggling to grow your crops in. I'll give you a land. And God took him to that land, and God gave him, in exchange for forsaking that, God gave him the whole promised land. And he said, Abraham, walk to the north, south, east, and west. Go and look at what I've given you. That's the principle of the kingdom. But first, you've got to let go. You've got to trust it to him. The battle's going to come in. The devil's going to say, but that's fanaticism. That's going too far. No person can live that kind of life in this kind of time. My friend, sons and daughters of God, no matter what the times are like, they live according to the word.
Amen.
God has given them all that they need to do it. God has equipped them to do it. So Abraham overcame that battle and he received his inheritance. But the prophet says, but the first thing he had to do was to separate himself. He separated himself from his people. All of his loved ones. The old associates he used to run around with. He separated himself from his boyhood friends that had come down from Babylon with him. That's like they say in the world, where the rubber meets the road. That's what they say. That's the real crunch now. When it becomes a reality like that. That your friends that you've grown up with, Christ visits you one day. And says, I want to give you eternal life. I want to walk with you. I want to bless you. I want to make you your name great. I want you to be a blessing, like he said to Abraham. Abraham says, what I have to do? You just have to forsake all of this. You can't be a citizen of two kingdoms. Leave this. And Abraham, you obeyed. Is that not amazing? It was such a revelation. It was such a powerful visitation to him.
Amen.
That he obeyed. He separated himself. The prophet says he had to separate himself from all of his brothers and sisters and all of the friends that he knew, from his associates. When God called him, said, separate yourself. Now, that was hard. But he separated himself from all of his kinsfolk. Why? Because they would not agree with him. Abraham, you have got to separate from all unbelief.
Amen.
Anything that hinders me, anything that tries to hold me back here, anything that stands in the way, anything that tries to reason with me to give me a better idea and a better plan, let me be careful of these things. And sometimes it's not a physical separation. Most of the time in our age, it's not a physical separation. But it's a separation of not allowing all of those kinds of people on the sacred sands of your spiritual life. Not to influence you in the way you make your decisions. Not to influence you in the way that you worship. Doesn't matter if they come and visit you on a Saturday evening and they want to stay until Monday. You still go to the house of the Lord on Sunday.
Amen.
It's that kind of practical step. It's telling people what you believe. And many times the temptations, we multiply them. You know why? Because you're not honest with people.
Amen.
The first thing I do when I meet people, I tell them I'm a believer.
Amen.
If I'm new girls come and work at work, I come and tell them straight away, I'm a Christian. You know, I do the work of the Lord. That's the greatest defense you can do straight away.
Amen.
Tell people straight away, I'm a Christian. Then they're not going to try to tell the dirty jokes around you.
That's right.
They're not going to put you in uncomfortable situations.
That's right.
Because you've been honest with them. You've told them who you are. And as young people, you should do that as well at school. You should be telling those girls and those friends of yours that want to influence you in a band, look, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. I'm a disciple.
Amen.
How can we be ashamed of being a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ? It's as if you're ashamed of me before men, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father and his angels.
Amen.
Yet we're not ashamed to be associated with the pop stars. What are you listening to on your phone? I'm listening to Lady Gaga. You want to be associated with Lady Gaga, you do want to be associated with the Lord Jesus Christ, the person of eternal life. Shame on us.
Amen.
Shame on us.
Amen.
Shame of us of wanting to be associated with the filth of the world. Yet the Lord God of heaven, who loved us so much that he came as a man to live as a man and to die for us, to open the way to eternal life for us, we don't want to be associated with him. That's why we get all the temptations that we do. Because we're not honest with the people of who we really are. Tell people who you are. Tell them in love. It'll be a great defense. And if they're thirsting for something, they're going to come and ask you questions. They're going to come and ask you about your church, what you believe, or you have a different kind of a life. I've met Christians before, but you're a different kind of Christian. And it opens up doors. But friends, it's best to be upfront with people.
Amen.
It's fair on them. Otherwise, what are you doing to the person? You're deceiving them. You're making them think you're someone that you're not. So you can't blame them when they start saying the things that they do and behaving the way that they do around. Because they don't know who you really are. And most of the people of this world will respect a genuine person.
Yeah.
Watch when you walk in the office how the conversation goes quiet when they were telling a bad story. There's very few people that if you're really a Christian, that they won't feel embarrassed when they do those things in your presence. And that's a safeguard, friends. That's a safeguard. I remember Brother George's story when he backslid when he was just a young believer and went back to the nightclubs. And Brother Tony was in the nightclub before he repented. And Tony and them said to Brother George, "What are you doing here?
Amen.
Get out of here. Amen. If you can't make it, what hope is there for us?" You see, the people will be watching. They'll be hoping, saying, maybe there's something real about this. But it needs a disciple, a true disciple to show the way. Someone who's willing to pay the price, take up the cross, go all the way through with the Lord Jesus Christ. You will open the way. Now Reeves is phoning him now saying, "I've been healed of HIV. It all comes from those kind of things back there, friends. Be honest with people. The prophet speaks about Israel. He says, Israel forsook Egypt. They forsook the old lands down there in Egypt to receive what? Palestine. God had something far greater in store for them. They came from that horrible place down there in Egypt with those taskmasters. Imagine. It was cruel. It was a difficult life. They were struggling to get by. God comes and gives them the opportunity to say, "I've got something far greater in store for you. What do we need to do, Lord? Just forsake this Egypt.
Amen.
I've got something far better than this." But that's sometimes that struggle to let it go. We want to try to keep our foot here in Egypt and try to see if we can reach our foot into Palestine to see what it's like. But you can't do it, friends. You can't do it. You're either in Egypt, you're in Palestine, or you're lost in the wilderness somewhere in the middle. There's nowhere else that you can be. You can't be in both places at the same time. You've got to forsake one completely to inherit the other.
Amen.
That's the way that God has established it.
Amen.
There's no other way. Coming to a close, he says, if you forsake that, he's speaking of the things of the world, God will give you something greater. But you've got to forsake all those things to have it. You can't continue on with both of them.
Amen.
Can you see the conflict in the life of believers these days? We're trying to live in two kingdoms. We're trying to please the kingdom of darkness. We're trying to please the kingdom of light. We're trying to please all the unbelievers and please all the believers at the same time. You can't do it. You can't please the God and the devil at the same time. One is your enemy as one is your friend. And that's the way that it is. Jesus says you cannot serve two masters. You can't serve two masters. Either you will love the one and hate the other, or you'll hate the other one and love the first one. That's the principles of the kingdom. The prophet says, they left the old garlic pots of Egypt. The flesh pots down there in Egypt. And what did they get when they forsook them old flesh pots? They got to eat angel's food.
Amen.
My. You see how God is no man's debtor.
That's right.
Friends, we used to read the filthy magazines of the world. We used to watch the filth of the world. But when God called us and we forsook it all, we
Amen.
Eat angel's food.
Amen.
Friend, he gave us things to digest and things to eat that are so far greater than that fallen kingdom that Satan offers to us. But you've got to make a clear-cut decision before you find that out for yourself. That what he's calling you to is so much greater than what he's asking you to forsake. But it's when we get caught in no man's land. Like I always say, you get shot at from both sides. It's not an easy life in no man's land. You've got to make a decision. Which side are you on? Forsake the one so that you can receive the fullness of the other. The prophet says they left the muddy waters of Egypt to drink the pure crystal waters from the smitten rock. There's always something better. He says, and you have to forsake everything. That's right. To follow him. But he that will forsake all and follow him, God pays off with bountiful blessings and riches. That's the promise. What did Jesus say? He who forsakes shall receive a hundredfold. God can't lie, friends. God can't lie. He said, in this world and in the world to come. Then he finishes off just speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, now if you want to talk about someone forsaking something, because people look at it and say, but God's not fair. How can God ask us to forsake all these things? He came and showed us how to do it.
Amen.
He came as a man, the man Christ Jesus.
That's right.
Whoever forsook anything more than Jesus forsook, he came and he showed the way. He says, if you talk about someone forsaking something, let's look what Jesus forsook for us.
Amen.
Jesus gave up everything. He gave up his home in heaven. He was the Logos. He was the Word. Michael. To come to the earth. And when he came, he did not even have a place to lay his head. That's right. He became so poor until he didn't even have a bed to sleep in. That's forsaking all, friends. But what did he get for that? He got raised up so high until he has to look down to see heaven. Can you see the principles of the kingdom?
Amen.
Forsake it completely and see how great the reward is that God will give you.
Amen.
He went to the lowest city. And the smallest man in the city looked down on him. Zacchaeus of Jericho. He took the lowest name. He was called illegitimate when he was born. Imagine, the greatest name in heaven. He becomes the lowest name on earth. Imagine what he forsook for you and me.
Amen.
To show us the way.
Amen.
To inherit the throne.
Amen.
They called him Beelzebub. The lowest that ever could be got. He forsook his heavenly place. And he came to take that. But God gave him a name above every name that's named in heaven. And every name that's named on earth. Yes, sure. He forsook. And he was rewarded. Sure he did.
Amen.
It's always like that, friends. But the devil tricks us, friends. He doesn't allow us to get to that stage. He doesn't want us to get to that stage that we do a complete forsaking. Therefore, we never receive a complete reward. And then we'll always look at Christianity and say, but oh, it's hard and it's difficult. No, how can people... It's not hard, friends, if you just do it the right way. Then he finishes off. He says, here on earth, Jesus had no shelter. He had no place, no house. Nothing belonged to him. But you know what? He became the shelter for every one of us.
Amen.
Look what he became, the great blessing to us. When he was willing to forsake his natural shelter, he became the great refuge for each and every one of us. That's his great reward. It says he gave up his sonship between him and his father to be made sin for us. He gave up his sonship. Now he makes sinners into sons.
Amen.
That's how we become the sons and daughters. God won't be undersold on anything. No, sir. You can't do it because God sees to it. His son became a sin offering that he could buy it for us now. Take sinners and make sons of God. And he became weak that he might become our strength. Friends, there's a reward, a great reward. Great is the reward for them that are willing to become disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. And every one of us at some stage is going to pass your way. That pillar of fire is going to pass your way. He's going to speak to your soul and reveal himself to you and show himself that even today, he's still the person of eternal life. And that's the most critical juncture of your life. Because Satan's going to recognize as well that there's something spiritual happening at that time. And he's going to try to do everything he can down the realm of his spiritual warfare to offer you another kingdom, to offer you something else, to try to keep you back from the real thing. But to the real son and daughter of God, you will never accept Satan's proposition. You'll never. He'll grant you the spirit of discernment and you'll discern and say, this cannot be the will of God. This is not the way that God wants me to go. And you'll gird up your loins once again like the song Brother George sang last week. Though you'll have the sweat on your face and the sweat on your brow, you'll shake yourself once again. You'll say, Lord, just once more.
Amen.
And you'll push through that trial. And it's another step closer to the throne. It's another step closer. What is Christ's way to the throne? Was through Calvary.
Amen.
What is the believer's way to your position in Christ? You've got to pass through Calvary. You've got to take up your cross. And you've got to willingly do it. And you've got to deny yourself and follow Him. And to any genuine believer, you will never regret it for a day. Doesn't mean there's no trials. Doesn't matter. It means sometimes there's no misunderstandings and difficult times. But the glory inside of your soul and the things that He gives you in return for the things that you forsake, it far more recompenses you. And what about when we get there? What about when you're standing on streets of gold? What about when you're in an eternal kingdom, dwelling in an eternal city? What about that, friends, when you receive the fullness of your reward? The trials and the toils of the road will seem nothing, the song says, when we get to the end of the way. Amen. Let's stand, let's sing before we close. There's no kingdom without the cross, friends, and let's never deceive ourselves to think that there is. There's no blessing, there's no full inheritance, unless we go God's provided way. And you know one blessed thing as well? That's why He gives you brothers and sisters. Amen. That's why He gives you friends. People that can be with you and help you in those difficult parts of the way. And that's what you really appreciate about the body of Christ.
These are the days of Elijah. These are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And these are days of great trials, of famine and darkness and sore. Still we are alone in the desert, crying, prepare the way of the Lord. Behold, He comes riding on the cloud, shining like a sun. Let the trumpets call, lift your voice. Year of Jubilee, out of Zion's hill, salvation comes. These are the days of Ezekiel, the dry bones becoming as flesh. And these are the days of your servant David, rebuilding the temple of praise. And these are the days of the harvest, the fields are as white as the world. And we are the laborers in your vineyard, declaring the word of the Lord. Behold, He comes, riding on the clouds, shining like a sun. Let the trumpets call, lift your voice. It's the year of Jubilee, and out of Zion till salvation comes. Behold, He comes, riding on the clouds, shining like a sun. Let the trumpets call, lift your voice. It's the year of Jubilee, not of Zion till salvation comes. There's no God like Jehovah. 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 Behold, He comes, riding on the clouds, shining like a sun. At the trumpet's call, lift your voice. It's here on Jubilee, and not of Zion's hill, salvation come. Behold, He comes, riding on the cloud, shining like a sun. At the trumpet's call, lift your voice. It's a year of Jubilee, and not of Zion till salvation comes.
We need wisdom, we need power, true love for each other. We have had
so many big and empty words. So we come before your face, asking for your grace. Take your people to a state of faithful life. Restore your church again. Touch your people once again with your precious holy hands. Kingdom shine upon this earth through a living glorious church, not for temporary needs, but to restore authority. Rushing wind blowing, oh, touch your people once again. Lord, you see your tired servants, broken, wounded soldiers. Oh, how much we need your precious healing hands. We need the power of the cross. That's the only source for us when we stand up facing final battle cry. Restore your church again. Oh, touch your people, touch your people once again. Oh, with your precious holy hands, we pray, may your kingdom shine upon this earth. Church, not for temporary needs, oh, but to restore authority and power. Let your mighty rushing wind blow. Your people once again. Oh, touch your people. Touch your people once again. Oh, with your precious holy hands, we pray. May your kingdom shine upon this earth. Not for temporary needs, but to restore authority and power. Let your mighty rushing wind blow.
Who we are, saints. Before we come to pray, let's sing that song, Onward Christian Soldiers.
Amen.
Let's not forget, you're marching us to war. This is a war for your soul.
Right.
It's the most precious thing. It's the most vital of wars. Christ has already conquered for you.
Amen.
You just need to walk with him.
Amen.
That's the key. That's the overcoming.
Yes. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before, Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, seize banners,
alleluia.
Onward, Christians,
Christian soldiers,
marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before, like
a mighty army
moves the church of God. Brothers, we are treading with the saints of truth. We are not divided, but one body with one in hope and doctrine, one in charity.
Alleluia.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to
marching war. To war.
With the cross of Jesus going on before. Crowns and thorns may perish, kingdoms rise and the church of Jesus constant will remain. Gates of hell can never against the church prevail. We have Christ's own promise, which can never fail.
Onward,
Christian soldiers, marching as to war.
Marching to war.
With the cross of Jesus going on before. Onward, then, ye people,
join our happy throne.
Blend with us your voices in the triumph song. Glory, light, and honor unto Christ the King. This through countless ages, men and angels sing.
Oh, we sing.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war.
Marching to war.
With the cross of Jesus growing on before.
It's decision time. The Bible says many in the valley of decision. It's time for us to make up our minds, friends. Which kingdom are we part of? Who do we want to serve? Who do we want to be the Lord of our life? It's got to be a clear-cut decision.
Amen.
If you want to be a real disciple. Let's sing this song while those that are still in the valley of decision, we just pray the Lord will just encourage them to step out fully for Christ. Let's sing that song. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back.
I have decided to follow Jesus.
Whoa.
I have decided to follow Jesus.
I have decided
to follow Jesus.
Whoa.
No turning back.
Whoa.
No turning back. The cross before me, the world behind.
Oh, the cross before me.
The cross before me.
The world behind.
The world behind me.
The cross before me.
The world behind.
Behind me.
No turning.
back. Oh, no turning back.
Oh, if no one
hears,
if no one hears,
still I will follow.
I will follow.
If no one hears me, still I will follow.
I will follow.
If no one hears me, still I will follow.
I will follow.
No turning back. No turning back.
Oh, though no one joins me,
still I will follow.
I will follow.
Though no one joins me, still I will follow.
I will follow Jesus.
Though
no one joins me,
still I will follow.
I will follow.
No turning back. No turning back.
I have decided.
I have decided to follow Jesus.
To follow my Jesus.
I have decided. Oh, to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus.
Follow on, follow.
No turning back.
Oh, turning back. I have decided.
I have decided to follow Jesus.
I will follow.
I have decided to follow Jesus.
To follow Jesus.
I have decided to follow Jesus.
Follow Jesus.
No turning back.
Israel left Egypt. What could they say? My tent is no more pitched. Is that not your desire? My tent is no more pitched. I don't love this world, friends. I don't play around with this world. It's a deceiving thing. It's a defiling thing. Separate yourself spiritually. Stay in the right camp. Walk under the pillar of fire. Feed on the angel's fruit. All will be well.
My tent is no more pitched down there in Egypt's land. You'll see me no more there, for I live in another land. My tent is no more pitched down there in Egypt's land. You'll see me no more there, for I live in another
land. Oh, hallelujah,
hallelujah. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia,
alleluia,
alleluia, alleluia,
oh,
alleluia, alleluia.
We come from far, from far, from far to serve the Lord.
We come from far,
from far, from far to serve the Lord.
We come from far,
from far to serve the Lord.
We come from far,
from far to serve the Lord.
It is by grace,
by grace,
by grace
to serve the Lord.
It is by grace,
oh, by grace,
by grace
to serve the Lord.
It is by grace,
by grace to serve the Lord.
It is by grace,
by grace to serve the Lord.
Oh, my tent is no more pitched down there in Egypt's land. You see me no more there, for I live in another land.
Oh,
my tent is no more pitched down there in Egypt's land. You see me no more there, for I live in another.
Oh, hallelujah,
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 hallelujah.
Alleluia,
alleluia, alleluia.
Let's finish with one more. Let's You ask yourself this very sincere question. Must Jesus bear the cross alone? And all the world go free? No. There's a cross for everyone.
Amen.
And there's a cross for me. And friends, it's a consecrated cross. He doesn't force it on you. He says, take up your cross. He offers you the greatest of things in this world and the world to come. But the condition is, take up your cross and follow. Deny yourself and see what He'll do for you.
Must Jesus bear the cross alone, and all the world go free? No, there's a cross for everyone, and there's a cross for me. Consecrated cross I'll be till day shall set me free, and then go my crown to win with the crown for me upon the cross. The pavement down at Jesus' feet, Jesus' feet. With joy I'll cast my golden crown, and His DNA remain. Oh, precious cross, oh, glory. Resurrection day, the angels roar, the stars come down, and bear my soul. Must Jesus bear? Must Jesus bear the cross alone, and all the world go free? Go free, no, there's a cross for everyone, and there's the cross for me.
Let's bow our heads, saints. Just to bring every soul to a decision now. I'm so glad there's many people here that are real disciples of Jesus Christ. They're time-tested memorials of God. They've been tested with time. Friends, we all get knocked down along the way. But a righteous man, when he falls 7 times, he gets up again 7 times. That's the difference. Because he has a desire in his soul, or she has a desire in her heart, that they want to serve and they want to worship Christ.
Amen.
And it's a battle, friends. It doesn't mean you're not going to take some blows. It doesn't mean you're not going to finish this battle without some scars. Jesus is known by his scars. He's known by the scars of battle. He's got the scars in his hands and the scars in his feet. And he died of a broken heart. Friends, it was a great struggle and a battle that he went through. And he says unto us, the door is open. The welcome mat is out. Eternity is before us, friends. There's a kingdom of glory. There's a kingdom that will never pass away. And we can enter that kingdom now by just throwing our all in with our rejected king. Our great son of David in this day. But just coming to him today and saying, Jesus, I know that I can't do it in my own strength. I can't do it in my own ability. But there's a willingness in my soul today. I have decided to follow Jesus. Jesus, I want to be faithful. Jesus, I want to be a true disciple. Jesus, I want to give you the glory. Jesus, I want to separate from these things that are defiling me. Jesus, I want to walk and live a life worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. If that's your desire, raise your hand to the Lord. And say, Jesus, that's the life that I so desire. But Lord, you're going to have to be the one to take me by the hand even today. To lead and guide me through the rough parts of the journey. Sometimes, Lord, the valley it seems long. Sometimes the journey it seems dark. But Jesus, you've already walked this way. Because no matter the footsteps that I take, I can still see your footsteps ahead of me. I can see the bloody footprints of the one that's gone before. Lord, you are the one. And Jesus, we've come to worship you today. Why don't you all enter into a time of prayer? Let's speak to him. If you've got burdens, speak to him. If you've got warfare in your soul, speak to him. The Bible says if anyone's afflicted, let him pray. Why don't you pray for yourself? Let's all call upon the name of the Lord. Father, as we finish up, Lord, upon this day, just bringing ourselves before thee, Lord Jesus, even at this time and upon this afternoon.
Father, most gracious, dearly beloved Jehovah, we come gladly before your
Amen. Just ask Brother Dave, would you mind coming to close for us, brother?
Most gracious Heavenly Father, once again, Lord, Father, with great joy in our heart, we're able to lift up our voices unto Thee. Father, we just thank You, Father God, for the blessing of Your word even upon this day. Lord, at the start when we asked You, Lord, to meet us, to speak to us, little did we know, O God, that You'd speak to us a word in due season, O Lord. Father, how we reverence Your word, how we love Your word, Lord. Father God, and how we just desire, Lord, at this time, Father God, to put away self-will, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, Father, that great enemy.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, Father God, when we look into Your word, Lord, when it's brought unto us, Father God, it's both glorious and amazing.
Yes, Lord.
That You, Almighty God, would make things so simple, oh God.
Oh, Lord.
Father, You'd humble Yourself, Lord, to a place where we can, in a way, comprehend Your greatness, O Lord.
Yes, Lord.
So help us, dear Lord. Father God, for indeed, Lord, with all Your greatness, yet, Father, You put it in our hands, Lord, a partnership with us, O God.
Amen.
That, Father, the choice You gave it to us.
Yes, Lord.
And, Lord, how we want to make that right choice upon this day.
Yes, Lord.
Father, we want to choose that narrow way, the harder way, O God.
Amen.
Father, for Lord, indeed, even as You've shown us through Your word, Lord, Father, that liar, the devil,
amen,
he has no good thing for us.
Yes, Lord.
Father,
yes, Lord.
But he has taken control of this world, even yes, his Lord. Eden, O God.
Yes, Lord.
Father, and put a deception that our children, Lord, that the people in this world would believe that there's something better than Your way.
Yes, Lord.
But, O God, are we thankful for the truth.
Amen.
We're thankful that there's one who has gone before us, O Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Our Savior, Jesus Christ.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
Who redeemed us, O Lord, thank from you, before Lord. The foundation
thank
of
you,
the
Lord.
World.
Thank you, Lord.
That Lord, Him being, Father God, our God and Savior. But He became our brother, our friend, Lord. He
yes,
became
Lord.
Our servant, O Lord.
Amen.
And He even took our burdens on the cross to
Amen.
Die for us, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Father, but You raised Him up, Lord, above the heavens, O God.
Amen.
So help us, dear Lord Jehovah, Father, to walk in His footsteps, O Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Father, and how thankful we are, Lord, that it's not in our power, Father God,
Amen.
For You said it's not of he that willeth or he that runneth.
Yes, Lord.
But Lord, if we make that right decision,
yes.
Father God, You've sent the Comforter Amen. To give us power for service,
yes,
power
Lord.
To worship You, O God.
Amen.
So Lord, just help us upon this day
yes,
to make
Lord.
That right decision.
Hallelujah, Lord.
Forgive us where we've transgressed against
yes,
Thee, Lord.
Lord. Yes, Lord.
Father God, but even as You've spoken in Your word, Lord, that where we fall seven times,
Amen.
We rise up again seven times.
Yes, Lord.
Thank You for the blessing of Your word, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
A mighty tower, a refuge, O God.
Yes, Lord.
That the righteous run therein and are safe,
yes,
O Lord.
Yes, Lord.
How we do thank You, Lord.
Thank You, Lord.
Father, we pray so much, desiring, Lord, that these words which we heard upon this day,
Amen.
The anointing that followed Your words, Lord.
Oh, Lord.
Father, give us grace that we'd not allow for the devil, Lord, to trick us.
Amen.
To rob us, Lord, of the blessing which You gave us.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, You've shown us that You loved us and You love us even today by bringing us such a word as this,
oh, Lord. Lord. Yes,
so, Father God, I pray, O Lord, that, Lord, when we leave and depart from here, That greatest battle that's always fought, Lord, in the mind.
Lord, yes, Lord.
Father God, Lord, though birds may try to come, Lord, upon our field.
Amen.
But Lord, we'd chase them away, Father.
Yes,
we'd not allow for them to settle.
Amen.
We'd not allow, Father God, for the enemy to rob us of our inheritance.
Yes, Lord.
For Father, they're always late.
Amen.
And Lord, you've partnered yourself with us.
Yes, Lord.
And if there's a work to be done, Father, you've partnered it to be done with us, O Lord.
Amen.
So let not the enemy rob us anymore, Father God.
Amen.
Father, of our blessings, O Lord,
yes, Lord,
of being servants for you, Father.
Amen.
But Lord, we desire just to yield ourselves to you, Father.
Amen.
That you'd lead us, that you'd use us, Father, for your kingdom.
Amen.
Father God, for we desire not to attain a kingdom without the cross.
Yes,
we want to go by the way of the cross.
Amen.
What a blessed thing it is.
Yes, Amen. Lord.
We're thankful, Lord, even for the Father, all you've done for us upon this day, we're thankful for the yes, testimonies we heard, Lord.
Amen.
Especially even Brother Reeves, oh Lord.
Amen.
Father God, what a mighty thing. And I pray, Lord, that it would be encouragement, Lord, to any that, Father God, would be smitten by illness.
Amen.
That, Lord, you've conquered death, hell, and the grave.
Yes, Lord.
And by your stripes, Lord, we are healed,
Amen.
Oh God.
Amen.
So, Father, in the same way, may each one, Lord, receive their healing, oh God.
Yes, Lord.
Father, be merciful to us, oh Lord, is our prayer. Be with us, Lord, when we depart now from your house.
Please, Lord.
Father, may your angel accompany us as you promised, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Keep us, Lord, from danger, Lord, along the road.
Amen.
Father God, be with our children.
Please,
when
Lord.
They meet temptation and trial,
Amen.
Lord, their tender hearts.
Amen.
Satan would seek, Lord, to defile them, Lord, at a young age.
Yes, Lord.
But, oh God, you have stood in the way, Lord, Jehovah God, by your word, oh Lord.
Amen.
So give us grace and mercies, Lord, Father, to indeed take up, Lord, Jehovah God, that which you've given us.
Please,
to stand, Lord, at the gate, Lord.
Amen.
Not to allow for the enemy to come in.
Please, Lord.
Grant grace, grant mercies,
Lord.
Father. For Lord Jehovah God, you know what's in the hearts of your children.
Please,
but be with us now. Bless everyone that made the effort to be here, Lord.
Amen.
Father, those that could not be here because of work, other
Amen.
Circumstances, oh
yes,
God.
Lord.
We pray, Lord, that you'd undertake for them,
Please,
oh Father.
Lord.
Lord, just continue to guide us, Lord, in the week that we'd go through, Lord. Bless us that when we come again to
Amen.
Meet your Father, you'd lead us, Lord, from higher unto higher, Lord. For we know,
yes,
Lord, Jehovah
Amen.
God, we're looking forward to a rapturing, O Lord.
Amen.
And Lord, it's a process, O God.
Amen.
So Lord, help us not to stagnate. Help us
Amen.
Not to be robbed.
Yes.
Lord, not to procrastinate, to put things off for another day.
Amen.
But Lord, just lead and guide us, Lord, even in the week we shall follow. As we pray and we commit everything which was said and done. In the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. So just one announcement. On Friday, this Friday, we'd like to do outreach once again. So there'll be no service on Friday. So I think it really is overdue. When Jesus said, you are the light of the world, let's go out into the darkness. Like the song says, when the children come and sing it, let's go and shine our candle in the darkness. Whosoever would be willing, we'll meet up Friday. Let's pray about it Wednesday night, prayer meeting. But I think it's a real good thing as you get into the summer once again, you just start to get out there once again and see if the Lord will guide Eliezer to find Rebecca out there. May the Lord bless that. Let's sing the song as we finish. Ancient words. Don't you love ancient words? That old-fashioned ancient gospel. It saved our fathers before us. It brought them safely home. It'll bring us safely home as well. Ancient words,
Amen.
Long preserved.
Long preserved for our walk in this world, they resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the ancient words impart words of life, words of hope. Give us strength, help us go. In this world, wherever we roam, ancient words will guide us home. Ancient words, ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart.
Ancient words
ever true,
changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts, oh, let the ancient words impart. Holy words of our faith, handed down to this age, came to us through sacrifice. Oh, heed the ancient words of Christ. Holy words of our endless word, Lord, resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the ancient word be ancient word, ancient word, ever, ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient word be ancient word, ancient word, ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Holy words of our faith, handed down to this age, came to us through sacrifice. Oh, heed the ancient words of Christ. Holy words long preserved for our walk in this world, they resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the ancient words impart.
Ancient words,
ancient words,
ever true,
changing me and changing you.
We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words, ancient word, ancient word, ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient word impart. Ancient word, ancient words, ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart.
It's all because of love I give you glory. Because of who you are, I will lift my voice and sing, and I worship you. Because of who you are, Lord, I worship you, Jesus. Lord, I worship you. Because of who you are, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Jireh, my provider, Jehovah Deshan, you reign in victory, Jehovah Shalom, my Prince of Peace, and worship you because of who you are. Lord, I worship you, Jesus. Lord, I worship you because of who you are. Because of who you are, because of who you are. I will lift my voice and sing, and I worship you because of who you are. Oh, we worship you, Jesus, Lord. I worship you because of who you are. Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Jireh, my provider, Jehovah Nissi, you reign in victory, Jehovah Shalom, my Prince of Peace, and I worship you because of who I worship you, Jesus, Lord. I worship you because.